This is side two of tape two interview with Jack Thompson. When the last tape side of the tape ended, you were talking about the art, your involvement in the arts, and let's talk about your community involvement since you retired in 1999.
Okay. When I, after I retired, or actually before, 6 years ago, when I retired 2 years ago, 6 years ago, I became interested in that there was a, the East Lansing has a historic district commission who oversees over the historic districts in the city of the you know, what can cannot be done with buildings in these districts, mostly houses. And so I thought, well, that'd be interesting. So I signed up for that, and I became a member of a commissioner on the Historic District Commission 6 years ago. In December this year, the meeting, that will be my last one. I probably will be going on the Arts Commission. I've applied for that. But anyway, so I became interested in the Historic District Commission. And for, I think, the third year I was on it, the chairman can only be on be chair for only a couple of years or something like that. So he couldn't be chair. So I took over as chair for 1 year with the idea that after that year, I didn't really want to be chairman. I chaired so many things over my lifetime that, you know, at my age, anyway.
The newness had worn off.
Yeah, so with the idea that, you know, after the year was up, he would come back, which he did. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed being on this Historic District Commission. And then I became involved with the East Lansing Historical Society that had started a number of years before I got involved with it. And I have been vice president for the last 4 years, maybe. My wife is also involved in it. She's an old East Lansing. She grew up born in East Lansing. There's a number of people on the Historic District Commission are also with the East Lansing Historical Society because of the same interest. The staff person on the Historic District Commission that works for the city is the president of the Historical Society. The city council person who has the Historic District Commission, an old friend of mine, Beverly Baton, is also on the Historic District Historical Society. So, and my wife, that I'm leaving it, she's going on now on the Historic District Commission. She's mm-hmm. been on the Traffic Commission. So, you know, there's a lot of interplay there. Mm-hmm. And then I saw in the paper that the East Lansing was going to start a Citizens Police Academy. And I thought, well, that'd be interesting. You know, I'm retired. So I signed up for it, and my wife was visiting her children in Oregon at the time. When she came back, she said, well, she'd like to do it too. So I called Sergeant Petty Novak, who's in charge of it, also in charge of the jail, and asked if, you know, my wife, oh, she said, that'd be great. So she and I took the police academy, and it was just so interesting, just highly interesting. I, you know, didn't know really know much about the police. In the meantime, or about that time we started, my son, who was a cook for many years at Chi Chi's, but was a part-time fireman with Meridian Township, and also was a cadet with Meridian Township police for three terms there, became a dispatcher for East Lansing, and his name's Chris. He dispatches the dispatcher through MSU, East Lansing, and in Meridian Township for the fire and police. But anyway, you know, then we got so interested in, you know, in this police academy. When it was over, I asked Patty Novak, sergeant who was in charge of it, that I'd help the next one. So what I do, and I've been going to all the classes again this time, and what I do is I take pictures for them. Mm-hmm. Take pictures of, you know, for a record. I think it should be a record of what you know, so that the people are doing the speaking, and then taking pictures, you know, what they're doing. I also, that my wife and I graduated from East Lansing High School in 1949, which became Hannah Middle School in later years, and then when the school district didn't need it anymore, they didn't have enough students, the city bought it, and it became the East Lansing Community Center, and they had what they call a charrette just at the beginning when they first took it over to get anybody, with any citizens interested. You got there, everybody got together, and you talked about, you know, what you're going to do, who's going to use it, and for two Saturdays we did that. My wife and I both did that, and then when they were setting up a committee for the community center, a committee of citizens, I was on the Historic District Commission, and I was the chair at that time, and they wanted two people from our commission to be on this committee, and so I appointed myself and Richard Wright, an architect who was the other chairman that I was sitting in for. Mm-hmm. So he and I and many other citizens have been on that committee for, you know, since it started. We checked with different architects and, you know, who they gave a demonstration, and then we gave our recommendation to City Council, and they picked the one that we wanted. And then we worked with them on the plans for it. The last thing we just finished was picking the furniture for it. Yeah. It should be opening in January. And one of the things I've been doing with that is I'd go in there every once in a while with my digital camera and taking pictures of the process of it, of, you know, and what was old, and some of the stuff that, you know, as they're redoing it, they take off things and they're showing the old things underneath it, you know, which is always I enjoyed. So much of my what I'm doing now is with the city of East Lansing.
Mm-hmm. In looking back at your career and your time that you've lived in the area and then worked for Michigan State, is there anything that you can see as a legacy or what's most important?
Legacy of
your experience, your job.
What I've left behind?
Yes.
I've left behind a record of housing and food services. Mm-hmm. Because of my interest in history and my years with it, through serving state, and also just things I've written up about the division, those 50-year, 25, you know, 30-year, think about different halls. You know, people in later years will have this as a record. I helped start the union that's the 1585. I also helped start the supervisors and managers union. Why don't you turn it off and let me collect my thoughts?
Okay,
we're talking about my legacy that things people don't realize is that, you know, that when you do things, that's the reason you're doing them is because somebody before had done them had, and they think, you know, that it's always been this way. They don't realize that somebody had you know, thought about and made a change. I'll go back to Brody, that when Mary Nemerson was food manager there, she, for some reason, the cooks became very creative about doing things, about methods of doing things. And she was just, and we also had a man named Floyd Darling, who took care of the equipment, and he was very smart. He could make different things, and so, you know, we would come up with ideas of piece of equipment or something. We'd make it, you know, and some of that stuff is still being used. And, very simple thing. You had big pots that steam kettles hold, you know, 100 gallons, and when you took stuff out of the pots, you would get a big saucepan, you know, a saucepan, mm-hmm. like a dipper, and you'd have a pan that you're dipping in, and you'd balance that on the lip of the pot and dip out there. Well, I thought, you know, we could have a shelf made, so he made a shelf out of a metal tray and a couple braces that you hook onto it, and then you don't have to hang on to it with one hand. They're being manufactured now. That's, you know, that's what they use now. And all the cooks had ideas, you know, that they would come up with. The other thing was what became known as divider pans, that when you put food in a pan, like, okay, say sliced meat, you put one layer in. Well, mm-hmm. I came up with the idea of putting some same size as a pan, a sheet, with holes cut in it, so, you know, and then you put another layer in that. Those became known as divider pans. I don't know if they still use them or not. Saran wrap. Saran wrap was coming out then, and I thought, why can't, you know, it was in front of the grocery store, so why can't you use Saran wrap to cover up things? So we bought Saran wrap, and now you buy commercial size Saran wrap, mm-hmm. they still use it. Mm-hmm. And the people today don't recognize that these old people that are still working there have done things for the university they don't know about. And I'll go back to Wilson Hall. When I went into Wilson Hall as food manager after it had been taken over by students, I had my choice of anybody I wanted to work with me, and I chose a number of people. One was Aaron Rodriguez, who was the store man at Mason Abbott. He kept, you know, when the food would come in, the boxes and the stuff in the refrigerator, he would take care of it, and then when people needed to bring it out. Mm-hmm. But he was Mexican, or he is Mexican, good friend of mine yet. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I was taking a class on something at that time, and I was reading something about Mexicans in Lansing and how, you know, the leadership, they have leadership, but it's only within the Mexican community. Well, I'm Rodriguez, and I got another guy named Joe Chavez, worked at Mason Abbott. Joe was a cook. They were leaders of the whole, they were, both of them were active in the union. They were leaders. Aaron, natural born leader, both mm-hmm. of them. So I asked Aaron to come over there, you know, and he was very helpful in calming things down. You know, he was a steward over at Mason Abbott, but, mm-hmm. you know, being at a level that we needed somebody to help. is the employee level. I also asked for a person that I'd known, Verna Bradley was her name. I was her first boss when she was came over to Shaw Hall. And I always talk, remember when she was shy, she's no longer shy. But she came in as a supervisor. At that level, very helpful. Later years, people didn't know about this. You know, they didn't know about these people, you know, what great thing they'd done for the university. You know, and which is too bad that Verna especially, that they didn't know her background, that she had helped save the university.
It's interesting. Their stories are just now coming out, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's important that people know about Verna Bradley. Mm-hmm. Arnold Rodriguez always he went out, and when Arn retired. This was very touching to me. When Aaron retired and I went to his party, he came over and he said, you know, everybody needs a hero, and you're my hero.
That was nice of him.
But he and I were great friends. What other legacies? I can't think of anything, but I would notice over the years, you know, people do these things. I say, well, I remember I started that. That's how it got started. Just another simple example. When at Shaw Hall, when the dormitories at that time and before, they kept food warm in the kitchen. It was a big trough thing full of hot water with steam running through it, and you put the pans down there. It's called a Bain Marie, and it was. But in Shaw Hall, on the serving lines, they had little electric warmers, and so they very interesting. When they were building Brody, they came to ask us, you know, what would you do? I found that very interesting that they would bother to ask us that. Mm-hmm. You know, that that's how they were in those days.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were because they figured the employees knew something. And my suggestion was, get rid of these big breeds, you know, full of water, hot water. They were dangerous. They, you know, hard to clean. And put these food warmers in. You know, when I was a birdie, that's what they had. And they still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that the management people in those days were. Thought the employees had some knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and I think that has gone away too, mm-hmm. somewhat. That you know, that gradually over the years, I've seen this that they don't understand that how important these employees are. What these employees, especially the ones that've been there forever, mm-hmm. you know, how much knowledge they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if somebody's doing something, they could tell them, you know, it's not going to work. You know, I've tried that and it's not going to work. I know it doesn't work. So, but, you know, they got to learn all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Still thinking. Mm-hmm. When towards the end of my career, that we were moving. Where we had was the print room, print shop, and the room where we there were probably about three, four of us by that time, and two printers or something, and one printer and the artist The print room was different, but that one we were all working together in one room, and it was very, very easy that when you're doing something, you know, and you, well, what can I do here? And you could ask, you know, the guy sitting next to you. You know, so there's a lot of interplay with, and a very good artist still there named Alex Parsons, very young, he's, you know, 32 years old, that I really respect, you know, when I want something. And one of the ideas, he's one I would, and I still do respect him for his ideas. But then we were being rearranged, and they put us in cubicles, you know, like in that comic, what's that comic strip?
With the, I don't remember the...
The, you know, with the cubicles. The guy with the necktie, at, you don't read comic strips.
No. Only occasionally, not all of them.
anyway, you know, so you're like cows in a stanchion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from my talks, you got to go up and go around, and I didn't, and when the rest of the world was really getting away from this, for some reason, we were getting into it. What else?
I didn't have too many more questions. Is there anything else that you could think of?
Okay. Okay, let's just some hit and miss some different things here. I'll go back to 1944, 1945. I took summer art classes in high school, or actually 7th and 8th grade, with Elma Getch, who was a professor of art here, a well-known professor of art here that... And very enjoyed it. It was in the art department was in the Union Building on the north wing of the Union Building. When I was at Snyder Phillips as a student, as a you know high school student, this was really my third job. But there were some other high school students working there when I went in there. And then the supervisor fired all of them except me. They didn't know what job was important. You know, I had a couple of years' experience with it, and that job was to me, doing a good job is important to almost all employees. It's something people don't know. The main thing about doing a job isn't the money, but it's doing something important. You know, they want to do it right. And there was a case that when I was at Brody when I was a cook at Brody, the guy that cleaned the restrooms came out and he said, "I want to show you something." You know, I wasn't a supervisor. He wanted to show me how clean he had done that restroom. You know, how important that was to him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the attitude. And new supervisors coming in don't understand this, that these people are doing the job because they want to do it right. Mm-hmm. Good workers, you know.
Pride of workmanship.
Pride, yeah. Talk about other people. Probably the best person I worked with was a guy named Frank Jansen when we were the night cooks at Brody, and he was kind of a funny little guy. He was from the West. He was kind of a cowboy, but everybody you know thought he was a funny little guy. But he knew how to work. I mean, he knew how to arrange things so the least amount. You know, a time and study person should have studied him. You know how to, and there are times you know when the work was just overwhelming, and he and I were the only ones there, and we, you know, and I was a good fast worker, and he, you know, but he was also, so we could, and we always got along, yeah, good person, probably the best person I worked with. Another thing is that in different halls, take the residence halls, they have different philosophies of doing things, and they don't even know why they do that. Because that's, you know, how it's always been. And I take Holmes Hall, where my office was, and the people there probably get along, the people that, the Holmes Hall people, the cooks, the custodians, you know, those people probably get along better than any people I've ever worked with. I didn't work with them, but you know, that they probably got along better because, and I think it's because there was the custodian that became the supervisor. His name was Frank McLean. Now, he came from one of the Lansing's top families. Mm-hmm. He was the Dodge, the Turner Dodge House. That's where he lived. That's where he grew up.
Oh, really?
Yes. But he handled the family properties for years, and finally, I guess, it was all sold off. So he came out here and got a job as a janitor. And then, but he was, you know, a class person. He became the head of the supervisor of custodians at Holmes Hall. And his idea was, you know, you do things right, you do things right, and you get along.
Mm-hmm.
And that philosophy is still there. And he's retired and been dead for a number of years.
Mm.
But I think, you know, it's his philosophy that's still there. Another person, Jerry Puka. Jerry Puka was came out of the computers business from when we used to use IBM cards, and he came over to university the housing office and head of the housing office, and he and I worked together very well. Because I do the brochures, the information, all that, and you know, and it was his information that I was, you know, so we, it was, and he was really understood the business of doing, you know, of how things should be done in arranging things. He was pretty much set up the way the housing office is, of, you know, how you put people, mm-hmm. when they come in, they put them in different halls and different rooms. It was he set that up. Very knowledgeable person, very good person to work with. Mm-hmm. There's people that I worked with that, you know, that to me, the epitome of what the people should be like. Marian Emerson, Jerry Puka, Arno Rodriguez, Frank McLean, Frank Jansen, Emory Foster, people, all kinds of levels. But to me, I look at these people and say, you know, that's how it should, and these are just the top ones. The ones below aren't that far below.
Had a similar experience.
Yeah, right. They aren't far below. You know, mm-hmm. the people that work for, that do the work for Michigan State University are what's important. You know, the president down to the president, they're all important. To the person mopping the floors, they all do good jobs. For the most part, once in a while, they, you know, you get a bad one, but not often. Mm-hmm. And they all take pride in their work.
I want to thank you on behalf of the project for your time you spent and also your insights.
Okay.
Very appreciated, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.